This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're doing some different topics that hopefully will be of some help to you. The Homeowner's Bill of Rights, payday loans, and loan sharks. And my guests are Leon Baer, a certified specialist in bankruptcy law with law offices in Los Angeles. Keith Ogden, staff attorney with Community Legal Services in East Palo Alto. And Joe Rideout, who's manager of consumer services for Consumer Action, which is the national consumer advocacy and educational organization. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, which certifies the following 11 fields of law: bankruptcy law, appellate law, criminal law, estate planning, trust and probate law, family law, franchise and distribution law, immigration and nationality law, taxation law, workers' compensation law, legal malpractice law, and admiralty and maritime law. Additional funding is provided by the family law section of the State Bar and the lawyer referral service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. We're having a little difficulty this evening with the phones, and I'm not sure what's going on. And my associate producer, Martin, is trying to get Joe Rideout on the phone, and hopefully we'll have Joe in just a minute or so.
I'm actually here, Chuck.
Oh, you are? How wonderful. Yeah. You know, it's very strange, Joe. I kept calling you on your number, and I got some other guy who said I got the wrong number. It's
how
weird.
Peculiar.
So
well,
I'm very
your producer got through.
Well, maybe he's just smarter than me.
Perhaps so.
Maybe that's it.
Perhaps smarter than all of us.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to be here.
How about Leon? Are you there?
I am here.
This is wonderful. Let's do this. What I'd like to start with is, Leon, before we went on the air, you said to me just a few minutes ago that you feel the Homeowner's Bill of Rights is just window dressing. What do you mean by that?
It looks good on paper, and I think while it does produce some reforms that were needed, it does not compel any bank to modify anybody's loan. And for that reason, I think it gives the consumer a misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I think the legislation was done to make Californians think that the legislature is doing something about this problem. The law itself doesn't really change much. Whenever you're ready, I'll go through some of the key points of the new law.
Go ahead. If you would, I think it'd be important. And I know that Keith has had a case recently dealing with the Homeowner's Bill of Rights, and I want him to also come in on this. And then we're going to move to payday loans and loan sharks. But go ahead, Leon, with the points that supposedly are supposed to help people.
Okay. Well, these points, I think, do help people. The first thing everyone should know is that this new law took effect on January 1st of this year. It is set to expire on January 1st of 2018. So this is not a law that's permanent. It has a built-in termination. What I think is the best aspect of this new law is that it hopefully is going to stop some, maybe stop a lot of the runaround that borrowers have received when attempting to discuss loan modification with their lenders. The new law requires that there has to be a single point of contact for a borrower so that a borrower doesn't call and get a different person every time.
Which has been a real problem.
Yeah, for years. Yeah. I've had probably hundreds of clients and prospective clients complain to me that they always speak to a different person whenever they call the bank, that every time they call the bank says, "We didn't get the papers from you." And
send them again.
Says, "Yes, you did. I've got proof of receipt here. Yeah. I sent it registered mail." And then the bank looks a little further and they said, "Oh, yes, we did get it. But Marjorie was handling your file and she's not here anymore. We don't know what happened to her file folders. So please send everything in again." You send it in again, and then they tell you, "Oh, yes, we got it, but what you sent us is now out of date. You've got to redo everything.
So in other words,
single point of contact.
Okay, all right, and so that is something that if you do get into the system of getting a new loan or whatever, at least you will have one person to deal with. A consumer can count on. Is that right?
Well, if I may, this is Keith with the Community
Please,
Legal
Keith.
Services.
Yeah.
You know, I think the single point of contact is actually probably one of the weaker provisions of the Homeowner Bill of Rights.
Mm.
It actually doesn't need to be a single person. It needs to be a team, and the team needs to be knowledgeable of your case. That does address exactly what was just being discussed. So they're supposed to be knowledgeable, able to give you an update on the status, and avoid the problem of Marjorie losing the file and having to start all over again.
Poor Marjorie. We're going to blame her.
I mean, yeah. I think that this is still going to be an issue for homeowners. I have not seen much better performance yet on the part of loan servicers, but it's something that we're going to be, with our clients and with colleagues who are doing this type of work, tracking closely, because that's an endless frustration for homeowners that are applying to try to get some sort of loan modification or other foreclosure prevention, you know, alternative.
What else, Leon, do you want to talk about before we move on to payday loans?
Sure. Another thing in this law is that when you submit your loan modification application, the lender is supposed to step back from a pending foreclosure and not proceed to a foreclosure sale until they have made an adequate response to your request. So what I have seen for the last several years is people who have actually lost their homes in foreclosure sale, at the same time they had an active loan modification application that was pending, and the borrower thinks that the bank is considering the application, and the bank, perhaps one department, loan modification department, is considering the application, but the foreclosure department is still marching forward to the ultimate conduct of a foreclosure sale.
Yeah. So Keith, did you have any...
meant to address that and to give a borrower a more prompt thumbs up or thumbs down on the application.
Keith, did you have some comments on that?
Yeah, I think I think this is absolutely, hopefully, the most important part of, or one of the most important parts of the Homeowner Bill of Rights. And this is, in fact, what we, for a client that we were working with, the servicer, we submitted the documents, we tracked everything. The servicer said that there were still missing documents. Basically, it was on the verge of saying that we needed to submit everything again, yet...
And this is since the first of this year?
Yeah, so then at a certain point, you know, we had confirmation in our view that there was a completed application. And that's sort of the key words, and that's going to probably be a point of contention, what equals a completed application. I'll come back to that in just a moment if I may. But we, tracking that and being the representative of this client through the modification process, then when the servicer issued a notice of trustee sale, that is a direct violation of the law, of the new Homeowner Bill of Rights, because while you are going through this review process and you've submitted a complete application, they're not supposed to take any further action in the foreclosure process. And so we filed a complaint and filed for injunctive relief on Monday. The judge issued the temporary restraining order, and the foreclosure was avoided. And this was only, the legal hook was only under the new Homeowner Bill of Rights, which was that they had not been given written determination. There hadn't been that written determination of their loan modification application, because the rights that homeowners have are rights not just to a loan modification, but to some sort of foreclosure workout alternative. And I would just disagree a bit with Leon's point earlier, and perhaps... perhaps my view on this is different, just coming at it from Community Legal Services perspective, but I don't see the homeowner bill of rights as being sold as a promise for a loan modification.
Mm-hmm.
I see it as an improvement in for a very, very, very badly broken bureaucratic nightmare mm-hmm. of folks going to mm-hmm. try to get loan modifications and whatnot. And the real injustice is when people aren't given a full and fair opportunity for that loan modification to be reviewed or to have other workout options mm-hmm. Explored. And that was the case of our client, and so that's why we're fighting it.
Let me do this because I promoted during the week that we will not only be talking about the homeowner's bill of rights, but also about payday loans and possibly loan sharks.
Joe, before we transition, could I just get a word in with this homeowner's bill of rights thing too?
And who is this? Is this Joe?
This is Joe, yeah.
Yeah, Joe, if you would, because there are four male voices here. When this is very important. When one of you speaks, if you
we
don't
do a barbershop quartet, perhaps.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're going to start. Who's got the harmonica? And we'll do it. Say your first name before you speak, because that way the listeners know what's going on and they don't lose the content. But Joe, right out, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, this is Joe from Consumer Action. I have to say that. Before we get carried away with saying that the Homeowner's Bill of Rights isn't perfect, it really does a lot of good. And, you know, in addition to this single point of contact that both Leon and Keith had mentioned, it's ending this just awful practice of dual tracking where a bank would promise to work with a homeowner, begin processing a loan modification, and then another department would secretly pursue foreclosure. Where is the constituency for that? I mean, that's clearly a win for average homeowners. It's an end to robo-signing. Who is in favor of robo-signing here? I mean, this is a major step forward on some fronts. It's not going to be a perfect solution, and there still will be plenty of people who will lose their homes, but one unexpected result of the Homeowner's Bill of Rights that I should mention is that even outside of California, foreclosure activities have dropped as a result of California's Homeowner's Bill of Rights.
I'm glad to hear
because
that.
Because banks have backed off from some of their most aggressive practices. And after years of banks dealing very unfairly with homeowners across the country, this state bill has had an impact nationwide. And it's in terms of dual tracking, it's in terms of the robo-signing, single point of contact. And it really is, it's not perfect, but, you know, in legislation, the perfect can be the enemy of the good. And this is a good bill, I think.
Joe, let me interrupt all of you for just a moment. It's our Call a Lawyer night, everybody, and if you'd like to speak to one of our attorneys, a certified specialist or non-certified specialist, the number is 1-800-525-9917. This is our monthly opportunity for you to speak to a lawyer off the air on the 800 number, no obligation whatsoever. And we have the topics of workers' compensation law, criminal law, legal malpractice law, landlord-tenant law, employment law, immigration. I'm not sure if we have immigration tonight. I'll have to check on that. Tax law, real estate, patent, aviation, lemon law. And then tomorrow, by the way, my one of my guests right now on this program, Leon Baer, will be available to speak with you off the air on his 800 number. That's tomorrow, Thursday. If you might want to take down that number, he'll be available from 8:30 to noon. This is a great service that he performs. He's a guy who's incredibly generous with his time. 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. We'll be taking your calls on the air in a few minutes, so be patient with us. This is Your Legal Rights. We're talking about Homeowners' Bill of Rights. I think it's now time to go to payday loans. For those of you who have come in just the last few minutes, the last speaker on the program was Joe Rideout, Manager of Consumer Services for Consumer Action, which is a national consumer advocacy and educational organization. Keith Ogden is a staff attorney with Community Legal Services in East Palo Alto. And that is a nonprofit organization. Yeah, it's not a private organization, everybody. It's not considered legal aid. But it's awfully close, awfully close. So, and then my third guest is Leon Baer, a certified specialist in bankruptcy law. His offices are in Los Angeles. So, Joe, what's the story with payday loans? What's your concern?
Well, payday loans are marketed as a short-term loan product. They're often marketed as something that actually reaches out to provide a legitimately helpful service to the poor who are having difficulty making ends meet month to month. But really, it's just throwing a drowning man a brick. It's not providing an affordable loan. It's an unaffordable loan that California carries an annual interest rate of 459%. It's an outrageous product.
That's per year, I presume. Per year?
Annual percentage rate of 459%. Wow. It's a two-week product. So the problem is that people tend to roll these loans over and over again. It becomes a debt treadmill. And even though there are short-term loan products out there that are just a fraction of its cost, a cash advance on a credit card, for example, is less than 1/15 of the cost of a credit payday loan. These wind up ripping off people who have the least to lose. It's one of the main examples how it can be very expensive to be poor, paradoxically. When you have to turn to a payday lender, you're almost insured of not just losing money on that one loan, but revolving it month after month after month. 60% of payday loan borrowers, it is estimated, go on to take out 12 per year. So it's marketed as an affordable short-term product. In reality, it's unaffordable and impoverishes people that have the least to lose.
But isn't the problem, though, with this? You were mentioning a credit card is 1/15 of the charge, but most of the persons who go to payday loans don't have credit cards. Isn't that true?
Yeah, that is true. And there is a real need for a short-term loan. I mean, the need is real. The problem is that the solution is a scam. There actually are legitimate short-term loans, but...
How do you find out about them, Joe?
Well, you have to look around. I mean, credit unions are famous for offering affordable short-term loan products. For example, in the Bay Area, you can go to credit unions like Golden One Credit Union. They offer something called a lifeline advance, which is instead of 459% APR, it's 15% APR.
Mm.
So just a fraction of the cost. And there really are humane, affordable, short-term loan products out there. But you won't find them at a storefront payday loan operation or, to say less, an internet payday lender where the interest rates can actually be even higher.
Yeah, and likewise here in San Mateo.
This is Keith.
Yeah, this is Keith. Sorry to chime in. But likewise here in San Mateo County, there's the San Mateo Credit Union, which offers a similar product to what Joe was just talking about. It's an 18% APR.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, they can, for members, you can become a member, and you can get reviewed, and you can have a decision in a very quick turnaround. So it doesn't mean that everybody's going to be guaranteed to get that loan. But as a first step, it is the first step to take for someone who's considering the need for a short-term loan.
What does someone, though, do who's had great difficulty, financial difficulty, who has had to turn to payday loans because he or she or they are desperate? How do they qualify, whether it's Golden One or whether it's a San Mateo Credit Union? How does someone like that who's had a very difficult time qualify for something like this? Do you have any thoughts, any one of you three gentlemen?
This is Leon, and I have a significant amount of my clientele who owe payday loans, and by the time they've turned to a payday loan, their credit is dead.
Yeah,
they also have had credit cards. They're all the credit cards. The typical client of mine are already in default, and my client has no palpable pulse left to their credit whatsoever. They turn to the payday loans, and typically it's not just one payday loan they get. They'll have a $200 or $300 loan at one payday store, and they may have the same loan with 6, 7, 8 other payday loan predators. And they just keep rolling these things over constantly, never getting them paid off. And as one of the other panelists said, it's like throwing a brick to a drowning man.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone wants to know the one for sure warning sign that you're headed to personal bankruptcy, it would be if you have a payday loan, mm-hmm. you're probably going to be in bankruptcy at some point pretty soon.
Now, of course, you know, the folks that go to payday loan, it cuts across all sorts of different socioeconomic backgrounds and, you know, people who never never think that they're going to do it. They might just take one. They don't really understand what's going to happen. They may be working, or they will. They are working, and they have to have a paycheck to get a payday loan. But otherwise, be, you know, more or less doing okay. And I actually have a friend who this happened to, didn't understand at all how the short-term cycle was going to sort of get him on that treadmill, as Joe called it earlier. And he had to wait until the next April when he got his tax refund to pay it off. And if I can share just one other brief story, you know, obviously the question that you asked really would be best for a San Mateo Credit Union or Golden One representative to answer how they do their underwriting and their decisioning.
Of course.
But I do know one story from San Mateo Credit Union where they were able to get someone pay off their payday loan with a small dollar personal loan at San Mateo Credit Union and get them and start restoring their financial
health.
That's
terrific. Let's stop for just a moment. All right, it's our Call a Lawyer night. I can see a couple of the attorneys for Call a Lawyer just talking to each other. That's not what I want. I want you to call in and speak to our attorneys. I think we have, and Martin will tell me in a minute, I think we have about seven attorneys here. 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. Your opportunity to talk to any one of these attorneys, no obligation whatsoever. It's a great consumer service that these attorneys are doing. They're very gracious with their time. Most of them have been doing this, frankly, for years. So take advantage, 1-800-525-9917. In a few minutes, we will be taking your calls on the air. You might want to jot down the number, 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134. You know, I want to ask you, the three of you, this. As a matter of fact, you, Keith, had mentioned to me that you wanted to do a program on payday, Homeowners Bill of Rights, which we are doing. But you also talked about doing something with respect to loan sharks. And I know that, Leon, you have had some experience with loan sharks, and I'm not talking about the people who say, you pay the loan or I'm going to break your leg. What's the difference between a payday loan and a loan shark who you're dealing with? Leon?
Well, in terms of interest rates, it's probably not a great difference. You know, the waterfront loan shark, I have not had a great deal of experience with, but I have had some.
Yeah.
And I have had clients come in to do a bankruptcy, and they're terrified to list the local loan shark and and discharge it in a bankruptcy.
Why are they terrified?
I believe, well, I...
With physical...
The clients have a very strong belief, perhaps a well-founded belief, that there could be physical harm to them or their family.
Wow. Have you ever gotten any feedback, those persons who have come into you who have been afraid of possibly going into bankruptcy, and whoever this person or these persons are who are loan sharks hurting them, have you ever gotten any feedback that they have been physically injured?
No, I have not.
I hope that that's the case.
Likewise, I don't have any feedback that the loans didn't get paid as agreed.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, on that topic too, Chuck. This is Joe. It's funny you compare loan sharks and payday lenders, because there actually was this professor named Christopher Peterson from University of Utah, this law professor there, and he testified before federal regulators a few years back that payday lending interest rates was nearly twice as high as what was charged by the New York Mafia.
Oh, my.
Actually,
wow.
Or even worse than the actual loan sharks. Yeah.
Whoa. Incredible.
Yeah. I mean, that's really saying something, and it really speaks the problem that this industry represents.
I've been hearing in the news for the last several weeks that a number of major banks are looking at getting into the payday loan business.
So if I can,
they already are. There's six of them that already are, including Wells Fargo and U.S. Bank.
Oh my gosh! Go ahead.
This
Keith.
Is Keith. Yeah, the way that that some of the big banks are involved is in as an investor of the chains, and on also with products, deferred deposit transaction products, which carry a lower interest rate, usually around 180 to 200%, but are also products that can be very difficult for people to manage.
Yeah, like Wells Fargo has something called the Direct Deposit Advance. It's a payday loan. It's not 459%, but it's 120%.
Yep.
It's an unaffordable product. It's totally inferior compared to what you can find in hundreds of different community banks and credit unions. But it's directly marketed by this Thanks.
Joe, have you found, is there a way for the average person who may have some ability with the internet to do some research and actually find some of these affordable products? Or how would you recommend someone going about doing this?
It's challenging because, you know, a lot of this problem is just the power of marketing and advertising.
The
the storefront, payday lenders, Advance America, and the other big ones, they just dwarf anything that a little community bank or a credit union can put out there. I mean, these giant corporations that have the inferior products are placing that product in front of your face every day. And consequently, you know, after you see that in front of your face every day, it begins to appear legitimate, but it, you know, it shouldn't. It's still an awful product. You know, but you can look in credit unions or community banks in your area. Another option that people sometimes overlook is you know, if you're taking out a payday loan, by definition, you have a job, right? You can't take out a payday loan without a paycheck to advance.
Well,
you can ask your boss for an advance in the paycheck. Turn to friends and family.
Wait a minute, Leon. Wait a minute. Let Joe finish, if you would. Joe, finish, and then we have Leon, and then we have Keith. So go ahead, Joe. Finish.
Yeah, I mean for several easy, you know, several potential solutions in addition to, you know, as an alternative to payday loans are talking with your employer and asking for an advance directly from that employer.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to borrow money from friends or family, selling out on unwanted possessions, or looking to see what a community bank or a credit union can offer you. Because
Joe, let me interrupt because we're nearly at the end of the statewide version of the program. On Consumer Action's website, do you have any information that would be helpful to people in researching this issue of affordable programs?
You know, the best place to look for that, I would have to say, is the Center for Responsible Lending.
All right, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about in the second half hour.
Center for responsiblelending.org. They have a good breakdown of alternatives.
Responsiblelending.org.
Yeah.
All right, it's 7:28 and a half at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. It is also our Call a Lawyer night, which we do every month, usually on the last Wednesday of the month. And that's 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. You can talk to one of... Martin, are we only missing one person? So we do have also immigration and small claims here. Do we have that? Which is Kara Weissman. Is Kara here? I want to make sure if I announce this that she is here. He's looking. No, she's not. Okay, that's what I was concerned about. So the topics that we have are patent law, aviation law, lemon law, tax law, real estate. We have employment law and landlord-tenant law. We have legal malpractice law. We have criminal law. We have workers' compensation law. And tomorrow, my guest, Leon Baer, will be at his office in Los Angeles and will be available to talk with you about your credit problem or your debt problem from 8:30 to noon. And his number will be 1-800-477-3111, 1-800-477-3111. If you call Leon and you get his voicemail message, leave your name and phone number. He'll call you back. So for those of you who have called in the last few minutes, this is the second half of Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. The topics tonight are the Homeowner's Bill of Rights, payday loans, and loan sharks. My guests are Keith Ogden, staff attorney with Community Legal Services in East Palo Alto, which is a nonprofit organization. Leon Baer, a certified specialist in bankruptcy law with offices in Los Angeles. And Joe Rideout, manager of consumer services for Consumer Action, which is a national consumer advocacy and educational organization. So let's do this. Let's take a few calls at this point. But before we do, I know that Keith wanted to mention something. Did you not?
Well, I just wanted to mention I agree with Joe. Center, responsiblelending.org is an excellent resource. And also for folks in San Mateo County, one of our former supervisors, Rose Jacobs Gibson, put out an excellent guide, and it actually goes through and lists the features of multiple financial institution alternatives ranging from the San Mateo Credit Union to Sequoia Federal Credit Union and others. And so I would just recommend for folks to go and on the computer and look up Rose Jacobs Gibson Payday Loans Guide, and they will find that.
And so the full guide is on the computer?
It's on the computer.
That's wonderful.
As a PDF.
All right. Well, let's do this. Let's take a call right now, and we'll start with Leticia. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi. Thank you for calling. Thank you.
Sure.
I'm actually calling because I have a payday loan, and the gentleman has called my job, so now I'm truly embarrassed, and he's also yelled at my fellow employees.
Oh, my.
So, you know, I actually hung up on him today because he was so rude. So how do I stop that? He's called 2 days in a row. The first time he called was yesterday, my cell phone, which he said he's been calling, but this is the very first time, so I have yet to even give him a return call.
How long, Leticia, have you had this payday loan?
This particular payday loan, it's at least 6 months.
At least a month, and now this guy is hounding you to pay this, and he's yelling at you. He's calling and yelling at your co-employees. What comments would any of you have in terms of how to deal with this?
I would ask Leticia first. This is Joe. Was this an internet payday loan or a regular storefront payday loan?
Correct.
There are some scams out there.
Which one was this, Leticia?
Internet.
It was an internet.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would caution that there are some scams that have actually used internet payday loans as a pretext to just browbeat people into paying money that they don't owe on the thought that they will actually just be so embarrassed by them calling your place of work that the victim will actually pay money they don't owe. They tend to speak with Indian accents. It was a ring of people that I think were based in Southern California, but they tended to speak with Indian accents. And, you know, I would make sure you actually owe this money. And if there's any question at all, utilize your rights under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act and demand that they prove that you owe the money, because there is a ring of people that are using information they get from internet payday lenders to shake down people for money that they actually don't owe. So
Leticia, do you think you owe this money?
I don't know.
Ah, well, then that's a very
big red flag, Leticia, and I would.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pay them anything until they prove that you actually own this debt.
Yeah. Okay. You know, Leticia, the other thing that I would do, what county are you in?
It's San Diego County.
Oh, you're down in San Diego. Are you calling from San Diego?
I am.
Are you really? Well, good. I'm glad you are, because we are on the internet at www.klw.org. You know, what I would also suggest that you do, and I don't know how the San Diego DA's office, Consumer Protection Unit, would deal with this, but I think you should contact them, tell them what's going on, and see if you can file a complaint with them also. This may be something that is happening, and it may be that the Attorney General's office is involved with this, but I'd start with the San Diego DA's office and file a complaint.
Okay.
Do you have any, you have at least a phone number and a website for this outfit, do you not?
I can try to find it.
Yeah, I think you should do that. Okay. I think that would be very helpful. Go ahead, Keith, please.
I agree with everything that was said, and I just wanted to add, I mean, under the Fair Debt Collections Practices Act, there are specific protections in terms of if the debt were legal, which I call into question as well. I agree with Joe. But there are protections in terms of how they can actually try to collect the debt. So I would log everything, all the contact that you're receiving, keep a log of it, because there may be claims for you under that too.
Yeah. Good luck to you, Leticia.
Okay, thank you so much.
Take advantage of this and do it tomorrow, will you?
I will.
Okay.
The
San Diego District Attorney's Office Consumer Protection Unit.
Okay.
Which is comparable to mine of the San Mateo County DA's office. And they'll provide you with a complaint form or tell you how you can access it on the internet and fill out the complaint. It may be that you're not the only person who's being confronted by this, and it may turn out that this is something that the Attorney General, California Attorney General's office, is looking into. So good luck.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Bye. All right, on the air, 1-415-841-4134. If you'd like to speak to my guests on the air, who are Leon Baer, Keith Ogden, and Joe Rideout. If you'd like to speak to any one of the attorneys for Call a Lawyer, it's 1-800-525-9917. Let me tell you who is here, because I'm very grateful to the dedication and the concern they've had for being here, making themselves available, and just trying to help you along. Alice O'Sullivan, who's a certified specialist in workers' compensation law. She's a former chair of the Board of Legal Specialization. Jeff Hayden, a certified specialist in criminal law, who's actually been doing this with me for at least 10 years. Peter Fortune, who's a certified specialist in legal malpractice law. He is the chair of that commission. And we've got John Brown, who's here for employment law and landlord-tenant law. We have Frank Adam, who's tax law and real estate. Frank's been doing this now, I think, for more than 10 years with me on this program. And we've got Ron Rohde for patent law, aviation, lemon law. Ron has been doing this now for several years. And Leon Baer. Leon, how many years have you and I been doing this program together, one way or another?
I think it stretches back to the times of Noah.
The big boat. We're the ark, you mean when we were on the ark together?
Yeah,
when we were on the ark. And and Leon Baer will be available tomorrow from 8:30 to noon. That's Thursday, 8:30 to noon, at 1-800-477-3111. No obligation for you in any way whatsoever. So let's see. Richard, welcome to the program.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
This program's timely. I spent 90 minutes at the bank yesterday, banging my head against the wall, and spoke to six different telephone bankers from the bank offices. I have a home equity line that's 10 years old. I'm in a little more fortunate position than the last lady. I've used it. It's not drawn on right now, and the bank is trying to cancel it.
Why?
Well, they're trying to cancel it because it's the end of the draw period.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that it's not their policy to renew these loans.
Hmm.
The problem is that I have a loan agreement, and the loan agreement clearly states that if certain conditions have been met, namely that I'm not in default and that they have a comparable program, a comparable line of credit secured by your home program, they have to extend my my draw period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The bank is impossible to argue. Everybody says the same thing, but we don't do this anymore. This is not the policy.
Mm-hmm.
And what I say is this has nothing to do with policy.
It's a contract.
We have a contract.
Yeah.
Now, my question to you is, and by the way, the young banker I spoke to said that they've been bullying a lot of folks into refinancing here at higher rates,
sure,
with fees.
Yeah.
It's wrong. So what I'm trying to figure out is, how do you get to the right person? I was a Chase trained bank. I am a Chase trained banker, so I understand the system. But I'm talking to people who don't even understand what default means.
Oh my gosh!
And similarly, I mean, this is a class action suit, because
yeah,
there's a lot of people being. How do I find a class action lawyer and discuss it with them? Because there's a lot of people that are being affected. That the bank's bullying people, and it's wrong.
What comments? Who has any comments on this? Anybody? Nobody. Okay.
Well, I mean,
Joe, you're still there.
Is there a reason?
Wait a minute. Stop, Joe. Stop. Leon, you start, and then we'll come to Joe. Leon, go ahead.
Okay, I will yield the floor to Joe.
Okay, Joe, go ahead.
Oh well, I mean, I was just going to ask Richard whether or not. You know, it's vital that you remain with this current lender, and whether or not you might have checked out some competitors that might have a superior home equity line if Chase or whatever this bank is refuses to lend you. I mean, there are some good rates that are out there. I think HSBC is offering prime plus 0.75%. Sovereign Bank has about 4% right now.
These aren't common banks to find in California, but they'll lend to you if you're in California.
Right.
So I wonder, is it vital that you remain with this bank? Because perhaps you could do a lot better by just cutting the ties with them.
This facility is at prime plus 30 basis points, which I think is pretty good. And frankly, I don't want to go through the rigmarole of reappraising the property and finding another line. And it is with Chase. It was originally with Washington Mutual. It's now with Chase.
Yeah.
And I've been a Chase customer. I was a Chase employee back in 1975 and credit trained, and I've been with them ever since.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I could remove it, but, I mean, there's also an issue of principle here, which is that we both signed an agreement.
Sure. Richard, this is Leon.
Yeah.
In my view, it's time for you to lawyer up, go see a real estate attorney, and be willing to spend some money on attorney fees to enforce your rights. I'm sure there's an attorney fee clause in the promissory note,
right,
so that if you are successful, you may be awarded the attorney fees that it costs you to have representation for this.
Richard, what county are you in?
I'm in Marin, but let me just ask you: are you saying that that the specialty is in real estate law, or is it, would it not be in banking law?
Leon,
I think it's real estate law because you're dealing with a real estate secured obligation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You should do that, Richard, because, frankly, I'm not that enthusiastic about class action lawsuits because the information that I have gotten on this is that the class action plaintiffs don't really get full value for what they've been victimized. It's a great way for lawyers to make some money. Because of lawyers' fees. Mm-hmm. I mean, if obviously a district attorney's office were to bring something as an unfair business practice or the attorney general, that's something else again. But, you know, I don't want to get all the class action lawsuit attorneys angry at me, but I've never heard anything that is particularly rewarding of any class action lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what Leon is saying makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chuck, this is Leon. I absolutely agree with what you just said about class action.
Yeah.
And Richard, at the end of the day, if this was to become a class action, you might get to the satisfaction of receiving a free checking account for 2 years.
Yeah, I don't like that. I mean, I agree with that.
And, you know, the lawyers will make millions on it, and you get a free checking account for a couple of months.
Yeah, I mean, my only concern is I can do it for myself because, you know, I'm smart with these issues, but there are a whole lot of other
Richard,
people that are getting bullied here.
You're not the world's policeman.
Yeah.
This is true.
Protect yourself,
if
Richard.
If you want to be the cop of the world, then that's a different career path.
Yeah.
If you want to solve your problem, solve your problem.
Okay,
Richard,
thank you very much.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Take care. I hope you are successful. All right. I still see some lawyers for Call a Lawyer who are not on the phone. What's going on here? 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917 for our Call a Lawyer night, the fourth Wednesday of the month. I want you to take advantage of this. And for On the Air, it's 1-415-841-4134. Before we take another call, let me just mention this to you. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. This is a public service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and for a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-986-1616. Pardon me, 415-989, pardon me, 1616. This information is brought to you by the Bar Association of San Francisco and KALW listeners like you. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own at 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. Both of these bar associations are funders of your legal rights. If you're in some other county, you can call your own county bar association lawyer referral service. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to try to find someone who's experienced in the area and set you up for half an hour consultation, nose to nose with the attorney. If you can't get into the attorney's office, they'll do their best to work out, hopefully, a telephone interview that you'll have with the attorney for half an hour. You will pay not to the attorney, but to the Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service for half an hour, either a low of 25 or maybe a high of 35. It's a very fine service. If you're looking for any one of the 11 certified specialties that the Bar, the Board of Legal Specialization certifies, you can call the statewide number, 415-538-2100, 415-538-2100, or you can go to the website for the Board of Legal Specialization. It's all lowercase, no spaces, www.californiaspecialist.org, californiaspecialist.org. All right, let's see who we've got. Bernie, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, hello.
Hi, Bernie, you're on the air.
Okay, yeah. My question is, this place is my landlord's house is going on in foreclosure, and I was told the other day that it's going to be April 4th because he was fighting to get the short sale or whatever, but that the bank is going to take it over, and I finally got him to tell me the name of the place. I think he said it's Select. I'm sorry. Select portfolio someplace, maybe out of Oakland or something. But the problem that I have, I don't think he's told them that I'm a tenant here. I've been a tenant here for 8 years.
Yeah.
And I heard from a lady that knows something about real estate telling me that they're supposed to give me 60 days and I'm supposed to get a notice. Well, he's told me that this and a couple months ago, but it wasn't. I haven't seen any paperwork. I asked him and all that, and then he got an extension, and then he told me another day.
Let me do this, Bernie. This is a landlord-tenant issue. Do you have something, Keith, on this?
Yeah, just if I
go
can
ahead.
Just ask a few questions. This
go
is
ahead.
Keith with Community
yeah.
Legal Services.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bernie, where do you live?
In Newark.
In Newark, okay.
Newark, California.
And has the foreclosure actually happened yet?
Well, not. I'm just not getting the information. I went down to the records in Oakland and saw it back before he got the first extension, but then so things have changed. I haven't gone back there again to see what the progression is, but I can't get any thing from them. I'm not getting the information, and I've been looking for a place already, and I've got my stuff mostly packed and everything, but just like this without notice, and I just don't want to come home one day and all of a sudden my stuff is locked up or
that can't happen, Bernie.
Yeah, so as far as I understand, the foreclosure has not happened, and there you have rights, you'll have rights to notice and to a certain length of time before you could be locked up. What I would recommend, actually, we have a landlord-tenant division at Community Legal Services, and actually under the new Homeowner Bill of Rights, there are some enhanced protections. I am not an authority on those, but what Leon or Joe was just saying is right. That can't happen. But I would...
They said it can happen?
Cannot.
No, absolutely not. Bernie, yeah. This is Joe. Let me add something, too. If you have a lease...
There was no lease. That's the other problem.
There's no lease, okay.
Contract,
well, you have nothing to worry about until the building is sold. Once the building is sold, you can be served with a 90-day notice to quit. After that, you might have to get out of there.
I don't think they know about me.
When you say they, you mean the bank? That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, Bernie.
If you're paying rent as a tenant, you have 90 days from the moment that the bank serves you, and that's not going to happen until the foreclosure is completed and the property is sold, which, as we know, could take forever.
Let me interrupt both of you.
You may have a long time to go.
Keith, are you suggesting to Bernie that he call your office?
Yeah, we're just across the Dumbarton Bridge, and our phone number is
650-326-6440.
Yeah,
okay.
Please give us a call.
When a good time for me to call?
And again, we're a free nonprofit legal service provider, and we have folks doing landlord tenant and that deal with these issues.
Call during the daytime, Bernie.
Yeah, call in the morning or something. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, who was I? Which one? Well, you guys, I know there's Joe and
this is Keith from Community Legal Services.
Okay.
Yeah, the phone number he gave you, Bernie, is for Community Legal Services in East Palo Alto, which is a nonprofit organization.
Okay, I'm writing it down. Community Legal Services. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's okay that I'm over here on this side of the bay?
It sure is.
Absolutely.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, and the services are free, so call tomorrow, all right?
I sure will, and thanks for your program.
Yeah, and don't let these guys, you know, kick you around, because there are laws to protect you.
Stress. I've been worried like crazy, and now when I hear that it's going to be, they're taking it over on the 4th of April, it just really blew my mind.
Well, you call Community Legal Services tomorrow.
Okay.
Hopefully they'll be able to give you some assurance that you're not just going to be yanked out of there at their whim. So good luck to you, Bernie.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, thank you again. All right.
Take care. Luck, any other comments with respect to Bernie? He's gone now, but any other comments with respect to the issue that he's confronted with?
Yes. This is
Joe. I have a comment.
Wait a minute.
That is subject to rent control. The local rent control board, I think, would be able to give him information about what his rights would be as a tenant under any special provisions in that rent control.
I don't think Newark has rent control, though, okay. Leon.
All right.
I don't think Newark does. You know, it's a separate community in Alameda County. I don't think it does. I'm not sure. But you are certainly correct that if there is a rent control community in which you're living, there are certain regulations that will protect renters. But, okay, and Joe, you had some comments.
Yeah, I mean, for Bernie and for other people in this kind of a situation where their landlord is getting foreclosed on and their tenants in the building, you may feel powerless in that situation, but actually the reverse is often true. You have a lot of power, particularly to extract a cash for keys settlement if that bank wants you out there earlier.
Yeah.
Typically, once a foreclosure happens, the bank really wants to make things happen as quickly as possible, and you, the tenant, have the ability to hold up the sale to the next buyer. And consequently, you have the ability to get a nice settlement from the bank to get you to move out when they want you to move out. So don't hesitate to drive a hard bargain with the bank, because you absolutely have the opportunity to do so.
Keith.
This is Keith, and that's absolutely true. And actually, we see more often than not that it's an investor, a private investor, who's buying the property, not the bank that's taking possession.
Yeah.
And the private investor can be difficult to deal with, but usually they're reasonable. And like Joe said, they do want to negotiate, and you can drive a hard bargain with them. Don't be bullied. Don't be intimidated. Don't be scared. And never, ever feel like you have to give up possession. You have legal rights to maintain possession for a period of time, as Joe said, at least for a tenant, 90 days.
Yeah. All right. We have a few more minutes. 1-415-841-4134. If any of you have a question for my guests on the air. And then for Call a Lawyer, it's 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. I see right now in the conference room where the attorneys are, they're handing a phone from one side of the big conference table to the other side. It's something to see. Okay, 1-800-525-9917. And we do have, for those of you who have landlord-tenant questions, we do have John Brown, who does landlord-tenant law as well as employment law. You can call and speak to John. All right, if there's anybody else who would like to talk to my guests on the air, don't wait another 2 minutes, because we will be gone, and that wouldn't be very good. So let me do this. Leon, let me, in that we're getting close to the end of the program, what final comments do you have for all of us?
I would like to point out that the California Homeowners Bill of Rights provides that the protections of that law end if you file bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
However, if you file a bankruptcy, particularly Chapter 13 bankruptcy, there's a whole other vista of rights and remedies that kicks in to protect you. But you've got to approach this carefully, and if you are facing a foreclosure sale and you've had your loan modification request denied, certainly talk to a bankruptcy lawyer, especially one who's a State Bar certified specialist in bankruptcy.
And again, that's for wherever you are in the state of California. You can find out who the certified specialists are. If you go to the website, put in where you are, the jurisdiction in which you are located, and you'll find out who the certified specialists are. If you go to www.californiaspecialist.org. All right. And, Joe, what kind of final comments do you have?
Well, to go back to the payday topic,
yeah.
If someone's looking for what kinds of alternatives might be out there, I'd refer them to a nice report that was put out by the National Consumer Law Center a couple of years ago called Stopping the Payday Loan Trap.
Mm.
And in one of their appendices to this report, there's a bunch of alternatives, dozens and dozens of banks and credit unions that offer affordable alternatives. So take a look at this. You can Google Stopping the Payday Loan Trap. Look at that report. Look at Appendix A. You'll find a lot of alternatives. Another thing is that, you know, for someone who's facing a payday loan who's low in income, you may not be taking advantage of all the assistance that might be available to you to keep more money in your pocket in the first place. Things like, if we're talking about California, low-cost auto insurance, the state program that can allow you to get liability insurance for about $25 a month if you meet the income qualifications, or the Lifeline program now includes cell phones, including free service if you make a little over $14,000 a year. That's more of a, you know, if you're just at the poverty level. But there are a lot of programs out there that can keep more money in your pocket in the first place, so you don't have to turn to payday loan alternatives. Reevaluate your relationships with companies you might be paying too much to.
Joe, can I ask you a question? Is there a good resource for those sort of alternative strategies that you just mentioned?
Yeah, we have at our website, consumer-action.org, we have something called the Financial Empowerment Resource Guide, and it indexes a lot of state and federal programs that people who are low income may be eligible for, and it breaks down a number of programs that are not very well advertised, but can put more money in your pocket so you don't have to turn to things like payday loans.
Keith, you have the last half minute.
Yeah, so a lot of what we've just spoken of resonates with me and with what our client experiences in terms of just the advice to not bare your head, to take action. And on the Homeowner Bill of Rights, I just wanted to speak to a few actions. There are things that you can do to protect yourself. You can log all of your communications, keep organized files, and contact free homeowner counseling if you need help. And if you think that your rights are being violated, there are nonprofit legal services that are available, community legal services in East Palo Alto is one, but not the only. And also, the last word would be this, that even if you get a written denial, you have to be afforded an appeal period, and you can consult and you can get help. And there may be situations, if your circumstances are different, where an appeal would make sense.
We're out of time. I want to thank you very much, Leon Baer, Keith Ogden, and Joe Rideout, for joining us. Thanks so much for your generosity and good words and good advice for us. Thanks so much. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr, production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Next week, we'll be talking about immigration issues of undocumented students and young adults. My guests will be Marilia Zellner, Legal Services Supervisor for Educators for Fair Consideration, Elise Shugal and Rosa Gomez, Immigration Attorneys with Community Legal Services of East Palo Alto. And I hope you join us then. I thank you for joining us this evening on Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.